B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marshy, my concern is, I talked to Steve a couple days ago, zero penalty minutes. Well, it's now at four. So now we got to talk to him about staying out of the box on altercations, whatever you want to call them. You're going to take penalties through the course of a game if you're competing. Marshy will do that on pucks. Those ones that are sort of away from, call them away from the play maybe, we got to talk to him about those. We need him on the ice, and the way the series has gone, every power play has been crucial both ways. So we got to make sure that, you know, he plays hard between the whistles, and that will be the message to him.
All right, there's more Cassidy on Marchand. To your phones, as promised. Chelsea in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chelsea.
Hey, guys. I think Marchand's cheap shot was overrated. Just a little love tap. He could do more damage after all, spreading germs by licking people. Also, I agree Backus should play. He needs to get in front of the goal, be physical, and create some rebounds. Thanks, guys.
Okay, agreed on both, Chelsea. Agreed on both. It's overrated if you wanted him to be suspended. You know, if you were, like, morally outraged and wanted games, then it's overrated. If you think it was a cheap, dirty, classless little punk hit, then you're not making too much of it. That's what it was.
No, it was a weasel move. Complete. You go up, skate up behind a guy and you pop him in the back of the head and skate away.
Oh, please.
It's cheap.
Come on. And Backus, we'll see. You know, he gave him an instant spark there in game two against Toronto and then petered out, which, fine, he had already done his job, helped turn the series back in the Bruins' favor. They can only hope for half. He was a big impact in that Toronto game, too. If they just get three quarters of that tonight, I think they'll take it.
Yeah, I want someone who's going to knock some people around in front of the net, because those Columbus D are big. Like, honestly, I think that's the biggest problem for the Bergeron line. Those guys are huge.
Yeah, even still, they've getting chances. Bergeron had some red letter chances in the last two games. Doorstep, red, just green light chances, and he's not finishing. So, yeah, Savard, those guys are big. Rensky, what's his face there? Let me blank in on
Rensky's
partner. Seth Jones. Thank you. Seth Jones. Are those, yes, big. Big guys, no question. They've still gotten in there a couple times and haven't done anything with it. Dan in Norton. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Going good. What do you got?
Oh, yeah, I was calling about Pasternak. I think a lot of it's got to do with the fact that he's real young still and still might have a lot to learn. But I just think overall this Bruins, there's a difference between the want and the will. I think they all want to win, but do they have the will to win? Because it seems like Columbus seems to be thwarting more of the will than Bruins are.
So far they are. Maybe that's part of the reason Backus is in. You scoffed when he said Pasternak is just too young.
He's been in the league 5 years. I mean, what are we going to wait until he's 35? Okay, so he's 22, big deal in that league. That qualifies as experienced. I'm sorry.
It's not his first playoff experience. There's no excuse.
I mean, he's still young. He's been in the league 5 years. Like, and he didn't have any problem producing in the playoffs last year. And I know it was Toronto. Like, I just, that one I don't want to hear. That one I don't want
to
hear.
Of course not. So now they're too young to win a cup? Or the youth of one of their best players prevents them? No. No, no, no.
That's... I mean, sorry. Columbus has got one of the youngest teams in the league. I looked it up. The three youngest teams in the league, two of them are Columbus and Carolina.
This Bennington,
one's up 2-1. The other one's up 3-0.
This Bennington goalie they brought up is a rookie. They brought him up in January. That's it with the Blues. Like, stop it.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Justin in the car. Go ahead, Justin.
So, guys, I get about Pasternak. I'm really frustrated with him, too. But I think Beers had a good point in saying there's upside there offensively. But with the quiet one, I don't see any upside at all. He's not hitting. He's not scoring. And if you guys search on Twitter, you'll see an army of people who go on and on about his two-way play, even though he can't score. So if he's not doing anything, why not just stick Wagner in there and hit? He led the team in hits. And you just have to hit the other team. Thanks, guys.
So to me, Nordstrom's the guy that would go out of the lineup. I think Heinen's one of your best 12. I'm not saying you to bench Heinen. I would put that fourth line back together. What's so funny?
The quiet one. I just love how that's now his name.
Yes, he's the quiet one. A very quiet game. I'll circle back to Heinen in a second. I would put that fourth line together. I'd put Wagner back with Achari and Crowley, but that's not happening. They like Nordstrom over Wagner. Ty Anderson said to us the other day that Wagner's still hurt and he doesn't have any jump, and so they've recognized it, and Wagner's just not healthy enough to play. I'll take your word for it, I guess. Nordstrom's the one that, to me, that does nothing. Heinen, we're coming to this philosophical divide, I think. Heinen's becoming into this protected dome of the hockey writers, where it's a snobby thing. Like, if you don't get Danton Heinen, you don't know the game. You just want to go F yourself. Like, you just don't know the finer points of the two-way game and, you know, the little things. I used to hear this about Louis Erickson all the time. Just useless players in my mind. But now this has become like the new calling card of the hockey snobs. Heinen, I don't get it as much as some other guys do, but he's one of your best 12. I'd take out Nordstrom before I'd take out Heinen.
So I'm starting to wonder if Heinen's just your classic guy who can...
He's there.
It works during the regular season a little. But 19 career playoff games now, 5 points.
Thank you.
And the other night, the puck in front of the net, there was a rebound there. And he, you know, he was standing right there. He just did not have the strength to be able to do it.
And he's playing with Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. He's playing on the top lines. He's getting the time.
I mean, it just felt to me like he just got pushed out of the way. And he wasn't, you know, again, I think he's limited is the point.
Scott and Weymouth. Go ahead, Scott. 30 seconds.
All right, here we go. Heinen, I don't want to be a hockey snob. You know what it is, Felga? He's got raw talent, and that's the reason he's still up there. When he played in the first line, he's third fiddle. He can't even get action. I love the line tonight. Heinen with Coyle and Johansson. Watch what they do tonight. Second point in closing. You know who I'd like to see get more physical in this series? Ready for this one? Tuukka. As a Finnish goalie, they're so laid back. When there's guys in your face, I like to see him push somebody. How about a stick in the back of the legs? Not like Ron Hextall, not a penalty. Let the forward know you're there.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, except you talk about we got to be more physical. And, you know, I don't start with the goalie on that thing. I just don't. I think it's really hard to set a physical tone in net. But if Rask wants to be more aggressive and hit somebody and slash someone, that's fine with me, as long as he doesn't take a penalty. Jim in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, I think... Pastrnak is really banged up, and Nordstrom is not contributing enough. I dress Trent Frederick and Peter Cetera.
Okay, now we're digging deep, Jim. Now we're digging really deep. Where are those guys? Are they even with the team?
Are they the Flying Aces?
The Black Aces?
Or whatever.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, Black Aces. No, you're right.
The Flying Dingleberries? What do they call those guys? I don't know. We have Peter Cetera and Trent Frederick.
Yeah, they're sitting on the bench of the sore asses.
If that's where you're going, you're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Mark and Lemonster on Brad Marchand. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, I got a question for both of you. Let's pretend that you're both the dirtiest hockey players in the NHL,
okay,
like Marchand's portrayed to be.
Yep.
Would you actually drop your gloves and fight anybody on Columbus?
No.
No, but so what's your point?
Well, my point is, he's the most dirtiest guy, and he's going up and down, wrestling and tussling in the corners, but yet he never gets that ultimate physicalness with anybody on the ice.
And does that bother you?
It kind of does.
It should.
Exactly. He runs his mouth. You know, he was kissing and doing what he did there in the playoffs the other year. I mean, he's the definition of a hockey player, and I used to play. He's a coward.
Little bit, Mark. I'll stop you there. I think those are all fair criticisms of Marchand. Going to run around cheap-shotting people, but will you drop the gloves and account for it? Fair thing to bring up, except I would say this year, he had something like 3 or 4 fighting majors. He fought. So I've seen him stand up to it now at least a little bit. It's not going to happen in the playoffs, but next year, if Harrington wants to go, he has to go. And I don't know what the size difference is or if that's a fair fight, but, you know, I think Marchand should do that. I think it's a fair criticism to say he's just a hit-and-run artist. And no one likes those guys.
No, coward is the right word. When you pull the kind of crap that he did the other night, you come off as a coward. A punk coward. Or coward punk.
Coward's a bit harsh. Punk, I think, is more appropriate.
Either way, we're talking about the same thing. Either way, we're talking about the same damn thing. Joe in Bedford on David Backus. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? So you mean to tell me we're going to put the Boston Bruins hockey lives on the notion of putting Dave Backus in front of the net to deflect pucks or whatever?
Yeah.
How about when it comes time to deal with the speed that Columbus possesses? Will Dave Backus be able to handle that when that comes about?
Not at all.
If he gets...
Joe, what would you do?
I would just I don't know, physically with what they did in game two against Toronto. Why don't they play that way?
Okay, well, Backus,
what happened to that game?
Backus was a huge part of that, Joe. They activated him for that game, and they hit the tar out of the Maple Leafs that game. That was one of the best games we've seen in years. It was a complete physical display, and it started with David Backus. So I think David Backus does not have the speed or the wheels to get in this series and stay in this series and be a factor for the next four games. I'm not telling you that. He doesn't have that anymore. Can he go out there and give you a couple periods like he did against Toronto to help just turn the tone a little bit?
Sure. This series is a way better matchup for him than Toronto was.
Should be.
I mean, again, you know, Columbus has got some guys that are fast, but they don't necessarily play super fast. I mean, it's a more plodding style, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, no question. A half-court game. Absolutely, it's more to Backus' style. So maybe he can stay in there a little bit more. I just think he's pretty much cashed. But can he do something in the first couple of periods that helps set the tone and turn it? Yes, I think he can. Mike in the truck, go ahead.
A couple of things real quick. Do you think that the NHL tries to influence games at all to prolong series? And if not, why is Bergeron getting kicked out of the faceoff so often?
Okay.
Seems like almost every time he's out there.
So, Mike, you think like the NHL is doing it to keep Boston down?
Maybe. I mean,
oh, you're nuts. You're so nuts. What do you think the NHL wants? Columbus? Carolina? A Canadian market? Like, you think the NHL wants those teams over the Boston Bruins?
No way.
The best ratings they've had in years. It's 2011 set records. I don't know if it's been passed since. But even though that was a Canadian market you were playing, the Boston numbers were so freaking big that they rose the whole harbor, if you will. And you wish the NHL were the NBA. If the NHL were the NBA, you'd have nothing to worry about. If Carolina, Columbus, and Long Island were the three remaining teams with Boston, you think there'd be any issue in the NBA about Boston getting through?
No, then you could play Trent Frederick and Peter Solaire.
You could do whatever you wanted. The NBA would make sure you went through. Unfortunately, in this case, the NHL doesn't. The NHL doesn't. And if they did, you wouldn't have Tampa getting swept four straight. You wouldn't have Washington getting knocked out in the first round. You wouldn't have Sidney Crosby getting knocked out in the first round. You wouldn't have the Islanders going down 3-0 right now. You wouldn't have that. The NBA would make sure none of this stuff that has happened in the NHL playoffs. So that's good and bad. It's more organic in the NHL. You don't know what's going to happen. But the bad news is sometimes organically boring stuff happens.
I mean, the only thing I ever see in the NHL, and you could argue that it's good, not bad, is that they try to balance off penalties.
There's no question that there's two aside, three aside every playoff game. Absolutely.
So, again, and there are some that are indisputable. The delay of games that you flip into the crowd, the high stickings, like, you know, there's just no way around those. If you get those, you deserve them. And too many men on the ice is another one.
But that's the point. If the Winnipeg Jets and the New York Rangers are playing, the Jets and the Rangers are going to get the same amount of power play minutes.
Correct.
Where in the NBA?
Oh, no. The freak is going to the line 18 times.
It's like, oh, my God. Not even close. We continue with your thoughts on Felger and Mazz right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's just more details, and I'm not going to give them to you here. Just go to AJ Perez, his Twitter feed. He writes for USA Today. He's covering the trial for USA Today. And so because this is all going on, and now they're digging in, literally, to all the details of this. They're putting on the detectives that were watching this stuff on film at the time and what they taped and why they taped. And one of the detectives there testified that those viewing the video footage live took notice when the masseuses began
and looking for the keys.
You're going to have to fill in the blank.
Looking for the keys. I don't know where you put your keys, Murray.
That was yesterday. Just a quick little Bruins breather here. The Kraft update. That was the Kraft update yesterday. We found out. So What they were doing in Palm Beach when they were monitoring the spa is that they were watching the live feed from inside the massage parlor, okay? And they're not allowed to sneak and peek on innocent people, which is why I've come to learn, listen to the Midday Show today. I told you yesterday that the video evidence in Martin County, just north, parallel investigation into those spas up there, has been suppressed. They're not allowed to use the video evidence up there in Martin County because they pressed record, rolled on anyone that went in there, and then went back and just pulled out the guys that got the happy endings. I guess there were a few who didn't. And so those people were unfairly victimized by that warrant and that intrusion. So that judge up there suppressed the video evidence, and they can't use it at trial.
Because there was legitimate massage clients.
Yep. Right, and they were being viewed, okay? Right. In Palm Beach, there were legit massages going on, but the cops down there claim they were watching live, and they stopped recording and stopped watching when they realized it was a legit massage.
Gotcha. Mm.
And how they knew it was a legit massage, one of the things was a boxer, your boxer litmus test. In other words, if you took off your underwear, they say that's a sign in one of those establishments that you're there for unpaid sex. If you keep your underwear on, they understand that you're not going for the, okay? And so, or if something else happened at some point during the massage, they would know that it was an illicit massage. Which is why, on Kraft's first visit, before they turned out the lights, she started digging for her keys. And they realized this was not, okay, never mind that the boxers were off, but not only were the boxers off, you're going to have to go look at the AJ Perez Twitter feed.
Yeah.
You've probably heard by now.
But she needs one of those little things that, you know, that you can do on your cell phone that has a remote that tells you where your keys are. So then you won't go looking for them because you know exactly where they are. It's just, it's easy. You know, you get the little app, you press the button, and it tells you, no, you left them in the kitchen. Instead of someone else's kitchen.
Or in your, anyway. So the reason this came up is like when it first happened, like, why are we even talking about this? But that's why. Because, okay. So Palm Beach... In Palm Beach, they are trying to keep that video evidence in play by saying we didn't roll on innocent people. We stopped recording when we realized it was a regular massage, and there were sort of tip-offs that we would understand it was not a legit massage. And what this gal was doing to Kraft was a pretty clear tip-off. It wasn't a real massage. Okay, so that's yesterday. I was also listening to the Midday today, and they played something today. It made me spit out my organic butter coffee. I'm telling you. I laughed out loud. I read you this detail before, like weeks ago, where, well, I knew this happened, okay? Because I read it in a story here on the air weeks ago. So I knew this detail. But now they have the cop on the stand. They kept this poor bastard on the stand for 7 hours yesterday. I think in total like 14, 20 hours or something. It was just absurd. They being Kraft's lawyers. And so... You know, trying to break apart every part of the case, why they got the warrant, why they were looking, you know, what compelled them to do this and everything. And so it came up, they were surveilling the place, just sitting outside the place, watching what was going on before they went for their warrants and started to take a closer look. And this is when, this is the cop, I forget his name, but this is the one cop that they just went after mercilessly. This is the cop describing what he saw that led him to believe that, you know, maybe there's something going on in here.
There was one evening in question where a group of approximately 8 males got off of a golf cart, walked into the establishment, came back outside, did sort of a, and I'll use the analogy here, touchdown Jesus, lifted his hands, and then walked back inside. So at that point, I understood that this was not just a regular massage parlor, but one that was a illicit massage business. They had a early bird special, and that if you showed up before 1 p.m., you did receive a discount. Oh.
They had an early bird special. Kraft did get there at 11:30.
Smart.
He got the special. I don't. If you might as well.
I mean, smart. You know. I mean, you save yourself a few bucks. Why not?
That's a great visual.
Eight dudes rolled up in a golf cart. Hanging off the side of the golf cart on a busy, you know, they probably drove from a nearby golf course, but they had to drive down some kind of street. And in Florida, there aren't like little streets. So like just the sight of those guys driving down you know, Indian Town Road. It's Animal House.
Yeah. Here we're here, girls.
But
yeah.
But again, you know, just the visual. It's like, so the cops are standing outside, sitting outside the massage parlor. Here comes the eight dudes hanging off the golf cart. One comes in, one goes in. They're waiting. He comes back out.
We're in, boys! Let's go! Woo! Yeah!
Like,
dead giveaway?
In broad daylight, next to the Outback Steakhouse, next to the Chipotle, or whatever, in a regular strip mall where there's kids.
Legitimate businesses.
And families. And this is what Kraft is now trying to, you know, saying he did nothing illegal. As opposed to just saying, I made a mistake, I had a bad couple days.
See, like, again, I just don't understand why he would want all this to come out.
If this was in your neighborhood, if this was in Robert's neighborhood, if this was in Chestnut Hill, if that was at the, whatever, that Chestnut Hill Mall area, right? And they had one of these places. And his grandkids are going there. And his children and his grandkids are going there. And they frequent the all those places there at that Chestnut Hill Mall. But there was this place where dudes would roll up in golf carts, high-fiving each other, coming out after their happy ending.
Hammered, all red-faced.
And that were in his neighborhood. And some dude from out of town rolls in his Bentley as part of that, gets caught, and the cops do the right thing by trying to break up that establishment. And there's some out-of-towner comes into his neighborhood and fights it because he's got all this money and all this political power and wins, and the cops aren't allowed to bust up what was probably a dirty, you know, something the neighborhood didn't want. How would Kraft feel about that? So let's just put this, if you did nothing wrong and there was nothing wrong, let's just put it at the Chestnut Hill Mall. Let's put that right there. Right there on Route 9. Good, right next to that new Pepe's Pizzeria. Let's put it right next to the Superlux. And just have dudes rolling in out of their golf carts, high-fiving each other on the way out. And then when they get caught, let's call the cops liars and attack everyone down there. That's great. That's tremendous. That's just, so I mean, it's like, all this stuff is funny, but that's how blatant that place was. That's how bad that place was. So the cops wanted to break it up. I assume the neighborhood wanted to break it up. The people wanted to break it up. Who wants a place like that in their neighborhood? You want to go to someone else's neighborhood for that, right? Or to no neighborhood for that, or whatever, right? So the people who live there don't want any part of that. And so the cops, they probably overreached on their warrant. They probably overreached on the human trafficking. They probably, you know, tailored their warrant request to get what they needed to bust it up. The right thing to do. But Kraft's going to get off and, you know. So, I mean, half of it's funny. Half of it still makes me mad. Because if that were at the Chestnut Hill Mall and it was some out-of-towner coming and doing that, which side of it do you think Robert would be on?
Oh, well, we all know the answer to that. I mean, again, the part of it that I find somewhat mystifying is that, again, by fighting it, he's making it worse for himself. Like, that's the part on top of it.
Well, yeah.
Like, all the things you said are bad enough. But let's just say that he's a selfish, self-absorbed person like everyone else on the planet. Because ultimately, we all have our own interests in mind. How is this in your own best interest?
Yeah, because even if the video doesn't come out, what's happened here in the last couple of days proves things are going to continue to trickle out. You don't need the video evidence. More things are going to come out that embarrass him.
I mean, really?
Maybe it's helped him. Maybe it hasn't. I don't know. So, I mean, I can only tell you how I feel. I can only tell you how I feel. And I've told you how I feel about it. Here's an update from Murray. We have one more thing that made us laugh, and then we'll get to your Bruins calls. I promise you, Bruins fans, don't go anywhere.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger Nash.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
He has a mild case of carpal tunnel syndrome. For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. It seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing.
I like to play Fortnite forever, then blame my numb hand on the cold weather. Let's play Fortnite forever now. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I wanna play Fortnite forever. Until my hands go numb and I miss my next start. I wanna play Fortnite forever. As soon as we're off the plane, I fire up the Xbox. I wanna play Fortnite forever.
This is so much fun.
right, one more little side topic here, then we'll get back to your Bruins calls. But this came out yesterday. I'm reading from Yahoo Sports about Fortnite and the Red Sox. And they say that some members of the Sox are big fans of Fortnite, including David Price, Chris Sale, J.D. Martinez, and Xander Bogaerts, among others. They were so into it that some players had video gaming monitors installed in their lockers in the Sox clubhouse last year. Can you believe that?
Yes. Yeah, based on everything that we heard.
That is no longer the case. WEEI's Rob Bradford reports. There is no more Fortnite in the Red Sox clubhouse, according to Bradford. Pitcher Nathan Eovaldi said, I haven't seen it this year. Usually everybody had it set up in their lockers, but I haven't seen it. Again, I'm reading from the Yahoo story. The defending World Series champion Sox are off to a slow start, currently sitting in fourth place in the AL East with a 13-17 record. Things have gotten better lately with the club having won 7 of its last 11 games. Eovaldi said, quote, I think there is a time and a place for that, too. Maybe if we were doing a little better, maybe we would be doing it. But you can't be losing and playing Fortnite in the clubhouse, end quote. Again, it's going to Rob Bradford at EEI. So your thoughts here. Now, this reason I read for the Yahoo thing is because it's sort of from a tech reporter who is sympathetic to Fortnite and video games and tech. And what the sort of the point of this report is that...
How dare they?
Well, video games are getting scapegoated and blamed for violence, blamed for lack of concentration, blamed for everything. And sort of the tone here is that video games are not to blame. And, oh, by the way, the Red Sox played last year and won and are not playing this year and are off to a slow start. So it's sort of like that. But anyway, Maz, your thoughts?
I think someone told them to cool it, especially because they were playing poorly or that, you know, wasn't going right. Guys, let's put that away for now. Let's put it away. That's what I think of it. That's what I took out of it.
Yeah, and other clubs have done it. Toronto did it. The NHL. Doesn't the NHL have like a league-wide thing about it, too, that they don't want players playing in the locker rooms?
I'm surprised the Red Sox would do it. They usually bend over backward for their players.
Yeah, but again.
Well, I think that's proof that it was too much. It pissed someone off, and maybe that was Alex Cora.
So I just wonder when it happened exactly. Like, did they start out bad on the coast, and then someone said, guys, no Fortnite right now? Like, to me, I draw a cause and effect there. You know, to me, they weren't playing well in the early part of the year, and someone said, don't be bringing that crap in here right now.
And that's why I'd like to think it actually kind of played out dramatically with David Price finding out the new rule, like mid-battle royale while in the clubhouse. Like,
going for my 12th dub in a row over here. Got the sick loadout. I rack up more kills. I got the shoddy. Got the assault rifle, an SMG, my med kit, some shields. And boom.
Wait, who? What the hell? Who pulled the plug? Skip? Yo, Skip, what's up? The power go out? What's...
Well, there's no more Fortnite, David.
Hold on. Hold on here. What do you mean there's no more Fortnite? Like, just for today?
No, there's no more Fortnite forever.
Hold on. You can't take me off these sticks, Skip. I murder bitches in this game. Like, oh, I'm starting to feel faint. You can't take away Fortnite, Skip. But how about I make you a deal? You can take Astro. You can raise my pitch count. 130, 140, 150. What, you can't take it away. Yeah. How about I come out of the bullpen?
It's affecting everyone's play, David. We have to have no more Fortnite.
No, I don't want to hear it. You can't prove it. We've won 8 of 12. Guys, anyone? Eovaldi, you snitch bitch. Why'd you say something?
I was going to say, it is interesting. You know,
Fortnite all day. Just get to bed early.
There you go, Bruce. The story says some members of the Sox are big fans of Fortnite, including Price, Sale, Martinez, Bogaerts, among others. And guess who's quoted? Nathan Eovaldi. So, is he
just... Snitches get stitches. Why'd you speak up? Why'd you say... my chest is getting tight. Deep breaths, David.
Eovaldi eats pizza with a fork and a knife.
Yeah, that's right, because he's a bitch. And you spoke up, and now you took away Fortnite.
Eovaldi better be re-signing.
And now we brought him back in, and you ruined everything.
I got you.
I'm glad you got hurt. Stay away forever.
Oh, that's right. Eovaldi's even not even with
the... He is a scrub.
He's hurt.
No, that's right.
I forgot about that.
I told you I didn't want them to sign him. I'm kind of glad they did now. Seriously.
So it's not Cora.
They need a good snitch bitch in that clubhouse, Murray.
Cora's somewhat like an old...
I don't know if I ever saw Nate throw 102. That's a little too hard for him.
Eovaldi's been around the block. He's obviously hurt. He's had kind of a tough start like a lot of these guys. If you're like one of these old crusty vets, it has to piss you off, especially if you hate video games and you see these children sitting around playing this hour after hour after hour, especially maybe if Cora's trying to have a team meeting and he's over there.
Eovaldi eats pizza with a fork and a knife.
Yeah, you eat it with a fork and a knife, and you eat a hot dog, you know, you go, like, put it right down your throat.
Lengthwise,
yeah. Yeah, lengthwise. I'm racking up these kills. Oh, yeah, you can't stop me. Who wants a one-on-one beer?
Wait, hold on. Who turned it off? It's gone forever? I'm having... What do you mean forever? Like, I... That's all right. I'll trick everybody. I'll play Apex Legends. Is that? I think that's the new game. I'll play another one. You didn't say we can't play that. Oh, you snitch bitch.
They built monitors in their locker stalls?
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. I saw that. I heard that detail too, and I went, whoa.
He is a scrub.
So, these guys are putting 40-inch flat screens in there?
Bradford notes in the story that players are now filling downtime with crossword puzzles, card games, and dominoes.
Oh, you mean actual human interaction?
Dominoes and card games, sure. Obviously, that. You think the players are doing crossword? Sure you are. Yeah, sure you're doing the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not the Times. This is a common thing in there. USA Today. Is
really? Oh, they do that?
Oh, they did all the time when I was in there.
Are you sure it wasn't the Jumble in the Herald?
No, they did the Jumble, too, though. Yeah, no, no. The Jumble was also weird. But they did the crossword. No, no. That's
they
a fact.
Did?
Oh, yeah. I saw those firsthand. Yeah, I helped out with a lot of them.
<You're right.
laughs> Who's got a word, yeah. Another word for rat that starts with S? Nathan? Do you know what word that would be?
He is a scrub.
Snitch.
All right, so there's the Fortnite story. Unbelievable. All right.
Uvalde better be re-signing.
Back to your thoughts. We started with Kyrie and the Celtics. You can still weigh on that if you want, but I think, again, as big of a Bruins game as we've had around here in a long time tonight, a real big one. They lose this one, I think they're done for the series, and this might be, again, the last great chance for this group, meaning Chara, Bergeron, Marchand, Rask, Krejci, to win a cup. And it might all go down the drain tonight. A lot at stake tonight. We'll reset our thoughts on the bees in our long commercial-free segment next.
Fortnite all day. Just get to bed early.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
High slot. Here's McAvoy. Shoots off the post.
Boone Jenner cuts to the slot. He shoots. And he scores. It's one of those things that makes you go boom!
Right now, it's more about the Bruins sports not being able to win a lot of battles in the offensive zone. They're getting knocked off pucks. Anything along the wall, it looks like Columbus is winning. The Bruins aren't giving up much, but it's if you want to get something going offensively, more puck battles have to be won.
Atkinson walks in, slap shot, hits traffic, comes right down in front, another save, then there's a score! You know his name, it's Matt Duchene! He buries a power play goal, and the Blue Jackets lead 2-0.
I just noticed Dutchie retrieve a lot of pucks to keep us in the zone. Jonesy makes another play at the blue line, and we just tried to stay with it.
Left circle to Brusk, walks in, backhand, Bobrovsky the same, reach behind him, Coleman did it for gold! And the referee is washing it out.
After video review, the play is determined that it was a continuous play, and we have a goal on the ice.
Right corner now, McAvoy, center to Cherry, shoots off the post. Oh, what a save by Bobrovsky! And there's another shot. This one is blocked. Follow-up chance, and again, Sergei is there. Three times, the Blue Jackets keep it out of that net.
Down to 5 seconds remaining. The Bruins will get a chance. They come behind the net, put it to the side. There's a shot, save made, and I got two words for you. Game over!
The secondary saves that he is making are very impressive, but he's definitely going to crack at some point. I have a lot of faith that we're going to start putting pucks past him here pretty soon. So we've had some great opportunities today throughout all three periods to put pucks behind him, and credit to him today, but overall, I don't think it's going to last.
As a look back at courtesy of Jimmy Stewart, Game 3 the other night in Columbus, Game 4 tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. As I said before, I think this is as big of a game as we've had around here in a long time. Because I think this team has a real chance. I think the stakes are here. They've had 2-1 games before. 2-1 game against Toronto. First round, okay, not as real. Last year they had a 2-1 game against Tampa, but I'm sorry, and even, you know, in hindsight, you had Tampa and then Washington facing you on your way to the Cup. Are you really getting past that? Right now, the road is wide open, and the door is ajar, especially with Carolina up 3-0 on the other side. So I keep saying it. I don't think the team has great health, but they're all out there. They're all out there. When's the next time you'll have Chara, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, Rask, that group, healthy-ish, in the lineup, out there with this kind of chance to win a Stanley Cup? I don't think it's going to happen again.
No, it probably won't.
This is it.
I mean, again, Chara's 42.
And he looks, as I said yesterday, unfortunately 72. I hope that turns. But, you know, I'm not optimistic on him. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. So I think this is a huge, huge game. They faced adversity all year and have done well with it. They really have. They, you know, they rose up in this spot in Toronto. They rose up in game six in Toronto and even a tougher spot. They did it at times during the regular season. So I think they've established themselves as that kind of team. If you want to fall back on that, you can fall back on that. Columbus may be the toughest test, yes, because I think they are the toughest test yet. Toronto did this too, but Toronto still doesn't know how to win, which they proved.
I mean, Columbus has been the best team in the playoffs so far.
Yeah, give me those stats you put in the email.
So they really have. I mean, first of all, everybody has lost at least three games except for Columbus. Okay, they're 6-1. And the only game they lost to you was in overtime. So they played seven games and their only loss was an overtime game. That's number one. Goals per game in the postseason, they're number one. Goals allowed per game, meaning the fewest, number one. Power play percentage, number one. Penalty kill, they are fourth. But they also have played the two of the three best power plays in the league. Tampa was number one in the league in power play, and the Bruins were third. And their penalty kill has been good. Their goaltender is playing out of his mind. Like, no matter how you lay it out, they're not going to give the game to you, is my point. And so, to me, the Bruins, when you add in those power play numbers and penalty kill numbers and the way Columbus has played in, you know, on special teams, the Bruins can't get in the box. They can't get in the box. Because right now, you know, if Columbus wants to commit a penalty and put you on a power play, of course you take it. Why wouldn't you? As bad as the power play has been, you still take it. But if the Bruins go in the box, they're going to be in trouble again.
Okay, so that last comment you heard was Brandon Carlo, who says we're going to crack him. I hope he's right. Cassidy kind of agrees. Here's Cassidy today on eventually they're going to score.
If it's not going in, stay in the game, stick around. Because I just think eventually, I think Carlo said it yesterday, however he described it, I just think we're going to score because we have good players that will score eventually. Will it be tonight? I hope so. I hope it's right away. Guys start feeling good about themselves, but if it's not, we got to stay in the game. And that falls on Tuukka a lot, but our whole defensive game, I think it's been very good.
Okay, I'll get to Tuukka in a second. So they think it's going to come. They're going to help it. David Backes in the lineup tonight. Your thoughts on that?
I like it. Again, to me, one of the problems with the last game was that they were getting pushed around, I thought, particularly in front of the net in the offensive zone. They don't have any presence there at all. They're getting leaned on. They're getting pushed. They're getting hammered on the boards. They're losing puck battles along the walls, all of that. And to me, that's all that Backes can do now. If you want to get into a speed game, forget it. He's not your guy, and he wasn't the guy in the Toronto series as much as he helped them in game two. But this kind of series against their defensemen, because their defensemen are massive. They are. They're huge. You're going to need a big body in front there to fight for space, and he'll do that. I'll take it.
And I think he's going to be as fresh as you're ever going to get him. He hasn't played in 2 weeks. And I like that he's on the second line because it means he's going to get real minutes. Because that last game he played in, game five in that Toronto series, it was under five, and it was like a novelty. You can't have that tonight.
But I think that's an important point, that he's out there
to play.
If you need him to affect the tone, then put him out there to affect the tone. Being on the fourth line and playing three shifts in the first period is not what he really accomplished there. And when they activated him for game two against Toronto, he was out there in the first period hitting guys behind the net, setting up the first goal, and he was immediately noticeable. So that's what you need, and he's playing with Krejci tonight, so I like that too. I don't like the thought of him playing 18 minutes and, you know, eight shifts in the third period. I think ideally, he helps set a tone. The game tilts in your balance. And then in the third, you know, he's on the bench cheering everybody on. And then I don't know what he brings you the rest of the series. I don't know if he can keep up. I think he's kind of cashed. But for a half dozen shifts for a couple periods, it's the right thing to do to put him in there.
He won't play 18 minutes. Cassidy's not that dumb. I mean, he won't, because you'll get diminishing returns on that. But they'll put him in there to smack some bodies around. And I told you, I thought in the last game, the Bruins aren't hitting their defensemen enough. And I know those defensemen are gigantic, but they are human. And you still need to hit them. And Backes will hit them. And so maybe you get those guys peeking a little bit instead of doing what they're, because they're controlling the game. Jones is controlling the series.
A lot at stake tonight. There's a lot. To your calls, right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.